I'll never do it again.
Wah, wah.
Hey, Maniacs.
Hey, Mystery Maniacs.
Welcome to Mystery Maniacs.
Mystery Maniacs is a comedy recap podcast dedicated to mystery TV. Each week, we dig into an episode of a show, including the murders, the mayhem, the loonies, and everything else we love. This week, Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Season 1, Episode 3, The Adventure of Johnny Waverly.
Is it really an adventure?
No.
Oh boy, I am Mark.
I'm Sarah, and this is a spoiler podcast. So if you haven't seen The Adventure of Johnny Waverly and figured
from
out
4 years ago,
there's
almost
no murder or anything.
Yep.
We're going to ruin it for you. So yep, go watch it and come back.
Yes.
Wow, what a plot with so many twists and stuff.
Turns. If you let your kids play with little toy cars,
Hastings.
I guess
then they can listen to this.
They can listen.
I don't know
to the
how
podcast.
They could not listen to this podcast. Like, this episode couldn't offend anybody in any way.
No. Even the tramp is not even offensive.
Yeah. He's got 10 bob in his pocket, so he's not a vagrant.
Nope.
So you can't even call him a tramp.
Original air date 22nd of January 1989.
That was the year I graduated from high school.
I know.
No, I started high school in 89.
You started high school. I was in college at this point.
Because you're old!
Directed by Edward Bennett and written by Rennie Rye.
It should be called The Adventure of Not Talking to Your Wife.
Yes, that's what it should be. Actually, I got that wrong. It's directed by Rennie Rye and written by Clive Exter. Sorry. We rarely do this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the synopsis from the bullet line from IMDb.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Poirot tries to prevent a kidnapping of a country squire's son. While his plan fails, all is not what it seems. I would read that and immediately go, Dad did it.
He's the only person mentioned other than the kidnapped kid.
This is not Agatha Christie's best day.
Mm-mm.
I read 3 synopsises of this short story, and they're all the same. It's written in the 20s, very early on in her career. It's not the best story.
I have major questions about it.
Yes.
That we're going to have to figure out. The mystery is not the episode. The mystery is what Agatha was thinking.
I tried to figure that out, and I still don't know.
Like, what would you have to change to make it work? However, Poirot is awesome. David Suchet. Hugh Frazier as Hastings is awesome. Japp is great. Like,
Everyone is great.
It's a fun episode, but the story-wise, Agatha was young and maybe taking a nap. Maybe she just needed to fill some pages in a collection of short stories.
We got lots of mysteries, but none of them involve the story.
This is not the Lindbergh baby or anything.
So the Lindbergh baby is 32, so it would be in their minds.
Yeah.
And I tried, they continually say the line or something similar to child kidnapping in the UK. That could never happen.
Right.
So I tried to find a child kidnapping in the UK at that time. And there was no major story, but George Weyenhauser was kidnapped in Tacoma, Washington in 1935. He was 9. Guess how much the ransom was for that?
$500.
$200,000.
Whoa!
$200,000.
He must have been
US.
A wealthy kid.
It was.
That's a lot of money back
then. His parents
were
lumber barons.
Ah, okay. Okay.
George was released in a shack near Issaquah, Washington on the morning of June 1st, and everybody got caught and they were sent to prison for 135 years. It's really the most kind of
happy ending.
They got the ransom back, they got the kid back, and the people went to jail.
When did the Lindbergh baby thing happen?
1932.
Okay.
But this is in the 20s.
Yeah.
So I read a list of kidnappings.
Just so you know, if you're not familiar with the case, the Lindbergh baby was stolen from his crib, second floor, with a ladder by some people who had no idea what they were doing. And the baby died, and it was horrible.
It was horrendous. It absolutely broke Charles Lindbergh.
Well, Yeah.
More than he was already broken.
Yeah. So yeah. It was very sad. And it was world news.
It was called the crime of the century.
Yeah.
And that was 32.
Mm-hmm.
So this story, the show Poirot, takes place in the 30s. So the characters in the television show
might have been thinking about Lindbergh. But Christie wasn't when she wrote it,
because it hadn't happened yet. And it hadn't happened yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. So people reading it contemporary to when it came out wouldn't have been thinking about the Lindbergh baby either.
No.
All right. So the Waverleys have received 3 ransom notes.
Starting that, now they're at 50,000 pounds at the start of the episode.
25, 30, and then 50.
When we know.
Saying.
That a child goes for 200,000 at this point.
Saying, give us the money or we will kidnap your child.
Yeah.
Which
Why would you do
is
that?
Is a dumb idea.
It's a dumb idea.
If you're a kidnapper, don't do it that way. Like, who's going to pay in advance? Because you pay, the kid doesn't get kidnapped. Then what happens? The next week, they send you another note. We'll take another 20K, please. Yeah. Or we'll kidnap him this week.
Yeah, that's blackmail.
For the
stuff.
Rest of your life.
Yeah, you're paying. You know? You're always paying.
And you don't even know if they were ever really going to take him anyway. I mean, who wants this kid? I don't know. He doesn't seem like a bad kid, but.
He's not a bad kid.
He's kind of car obsessed.
He plays quietly.
He does.
Sarah, speaking of obsessed, I'm a broken person.
I know that.
I spent 10 minutes, 10 entire minutes staring at the first exterior shot of Whitehaven Mansions because it looks like Father Brown's on a bench outside.
You mean there's a priest?
And I was like, I'm not going to let this sidetrack me again, but wanted to make sure. It is
I'm
a
just
Catholic
gonna say that
priest.
It is not Father Brown.
It's not Father Brown.
It's not Mark.
It's Catholic priest with the big wide brim hat.
Yeah.
But it's not Father Brown.
And that is just because in the Father Brown show, he dresses accurately to what a priest wore in the 50s. And their outfits really didn't change very much. But
I may have exclaimed out loud, Father Brown!
So 50,000 pounds at that point would have been around 1 million pounds now.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of money. Wow.
It's a lot of money. The second mystery I have is what is on Poirot's table?
Well, you've skipped ahead of one of the mysteries that I have, though.
Okay. We'll go back to your mystery.
So this little boy,
yes,
who we see at his house first before we go to Poirot's place, is dressed like a sailor. Right?
Yeah.
He's got the wide collar on with the little anchor buttons on the front.
The little blue shorts.
What is up with that?
Yeah, why do people do that?
They did it for a long time. They might still do it.
Really?
We don't dress little boys up in any other military profession. We don't dress them up in little Marine outfits.
I'm in the Air Force.
Oh.
I wear blue.
We don't dress them up other professions.
No.
Thinking it's cute?
No, not like a postman or anything. Or a butcher with the hat.
The little white paper hat?
Yep.
And the white coat?
And the white coat. That would be a butcher.
Or an accountant with the little green visor and the armbands and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at little Johnny. He looks like a little accountant. But for some reason, sailor outfits were all the thing.
What if little Johnny came down dressed like Poirot? He had the whole suit on and everything.
Well,
the bad shoes.
When he comes in his pajamas, he sort of does look like Poirot. He's got fancy pajamas.
He does have some fancy pajamas. All these people sleep in way too much, but
Miss Lemon is perfecting her system.
Her system.
It is quite the system.
She's cross-referencing. It is data analysis before data analysis.
She's making cross tabs.
Five
pivot
ways
tables.
Cross tab. Cross
adultery, see also marriage.
Yes.
Bombs, see also marriage.
Poirot makes a great joke, and then they hard cut.
Yeah.
Which they needed to leave a little bit of room where, like, not sitcom-y level, but a little room where Poirot looks at the camera and goes, bombings, marriage, bombings, see marriage. So
I would just like to see him enjoying his own joke because you know he's the kind who would be like, hee-hee.
Yeah, that's like there was a bit of a hard cut there. So what is on his table?
Yeah, Poirot's apartment is decorated beautifully. Everybody goes on about both of his apartments in the series being beautiful. But that, it's a big, very shallow kind of plate dish on a table, I think, that's behind a sofa.
With white onions? Are they onions?
They look like ceramic heads of garlic.
Or bad apples? Like, they're not shiny or smooth like apples.
No, and they're definitely not real. I mean, they're white. White.
We'll put a picture in the show
You guys
notes.
Can guess what you think they are. But they're decorative.
They're decorative white onions.
Because, you know, that's what Poirot would have. I don't know. Was that a thing then? I'm not sure. Maybe it's a superstition or something. He's worried about vampires.
Johnny's dad arrives, and I'm left with another mystery of this episode of why does he go to see Poirot?
Why doesn't he call Poirot and say, please come here?
Yeah, like, why is he... Why is he pursuing this?
Because he's the kidnapper.
Oh.
So he knows that the kid's not going to get stolen while he's away. And then he pretends to be in a hurry.
A kidnapping in England? Clearly banned of foreigners.
Yeah.
Poirot's
like, excuse me.
So umbrage there.
Like, we're in front of a client, so I'm not going to tell you off, but excuse me, not foreigners. Hastings wants to race in Le Mans. He wants to drive his car for 24 hours. Yeah. He's never even participated in a race.
Yeah, he's not going to do Le Mans.
The form that he gets looks like a certificate from the Queen. I've never seen an entrance form that is so formal.
But the Lagonda is a beautiful car.
It is.
When you see that car with other cars of that period, you're like, that's a Lamborghini.
Well, when you see it with the Waverly's car, the Waverly's car looks like a jalopy, and they are sort of tight on money, so they don't have a real nice car. But that was an average car, and his looks like a yacht.
Wait a minute. If they're tight on money, maybe they need money for like renovations or something. Maybe he's faking the whole kidnap.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, you figured it out fast, didn't you?
Miss Lemon has a really nice typewriter, but I don't get to see the name on the front of it.
I think she's absolutely happy that they're leaving. Yeah. And she can get on with her system.
She goes, better safe than, she goes, hold the castle. That's what
Poirot tells her,
hold the castle. Hold the castle.
She strikes me as the kind of person who is not going to goof off while the boss is away.
No.
She's going to be like, finally, I can really get down to my work.
Tell you how.
I love those filing cabinets, those card catalogs, yes. By the way. They're beautiful. They're
beautiful. This episode lacked stuff. So I investigated. Better safe than sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know where that comes from?
I'm guessing it's some kind of advertisement.
No, actually, it's from an M. Plum novel from the 1800s entitled Murder at the Hunting Club. That's the first in-print view of it they have.
Huh. Maybe they're talking about rifles.
Maybe. Better safe than sorry. Which is like, so all idioms have an exact opposite idiom that I love that because.
Better sorry than safe.
No, no. He who hesitates is lost is the opposite of better safe than sorry.
It is?
Right. Because if you're like, oh, better safe than sorry, I'll be completely safe. You live a life of quiet desperation, basically.
Yeah, I would think it was like a risk not taken is like a life not lived or something like that. Yeah.
But I love that all idioms have those kind of flip sides to them.
So they can never be absolutely
because
true.
Because you have that uncle who all he does is spout idioms. Well, you better be safe than sorry. Or you know what I always say, check your gas tank before you look at the gauge. Or
Hastings.
Like, they mean nothing because of it. Which is why I always say, don't burn your bridges before they hatch, because those mixed metaphors show you that none of those things make any sense at all.
Poor Jap is in his office. He's got a little cup of tea. He looks quite content. And then they have to come in and ruin his peace.
I have a note that says, he's horrible and Jap is right. Hundreds? Yes, maybe not hundreds.
Well, no. Don't be literal. Nobody ties piles of papers up with string anymore.
No.
Like they did back then. Like, I think that was considered neat and tidy. Even Miss Lemon has some stacks of paper tied with string.
Yes.
Like, that's how I keep them together. That's how I organize my files. I contain them with string.
Yeah.
No, nobody does that.
No one does that anymore.
I doubt they even tie bundles of newspapers with string anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's all like straps and stuff.
Well, Jop's not going to take the case, and he tells Waverly on the train that if they wanted to be proactive and preventative about crime, they would have to have a cop for every person.
You have a little policeman in your head.
This kidnapper perhaps has no little policeman.
I don't know. You're talking to him. So.
Yeah, really? I think Poirot already suspects that Mr. Waverly is not telling the truth.
But he's the worst human being on the planet because he introduces Hercule as Hercules. Hercules! Hercules!
Which is like the least name to describe Hercule Poirot ever. Like, he's Hercule. He's not Hercules.
But someone has beaten Hercule to the house.
Hastings, because yeah. He drove 80 miles an hour.
He touched 80 on the hog's back. Do you know what the hog's back is?
It's the highway, isn't it?
No, it's a particular type of land feature, but...
Right, it's a raised ridge.
It's a kind of curved ridge.
Yeah.
It is a dangerous road to be going 80 miles.
Yeah, because there's no interstates at this point.
No.
So a tractor could pull out in front of you at any moment, or a goose.
Easily.
Or whatever.
They mean the one on North Downs in Surrey. Though,
a small child, you know.
That's the specific one they're talking about here.
I'm not surprised at all that Hastings beats him there and bores Mrs. Waverly to death with information about his car.
80 miles an hour on the hog's back. Wow.
That's why he wears goggles when he drives.
Zoom. There's a hog's back in Ottawa too, but it's not even listed on the Wikipedia page because Ottawa doesn't matter.
Why the hell are they letting the kid play outside?
I don't. Why did they not send him to... Okay, this episode is missing an annoying mother-in-law.
Yeah, you're right.
Really badly.
We need Maggie Smith.
Who would say things like, why don't we send them to Uncle Filbert's?
Yeah, we need Maggie Smith being the mother of the wife and holding the purse strings. She's the one with the money. That's what it needs.
And then we would have at least another possible suspect.
Yeah.
Because even though there are a lot of people in this episode, there's a lot of extras. There is not a lot of people who are suspects.
Yeah. Okay, we just got to say it. The plot doesn't make any sense, okay? So Mr. Waverly is going to ransom his own kid to his wife because she's shut down the renovations on his family home, the estate, because she's the one with the money.
Well, this is, yeah.
And so he's going to get the £50,000 from her, I guess, and then start the renovations again. And she's going to say, where did the money come from? And he's going to say,
I blackmailed you secretly by stealing the kid.
I put a bet on a horse.
I guess. Even Poirot's like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Is this the worst dinner party of all time?
It is really awkward with the one potato.
I only got one potato.
Like, it's, well, anytime that you're sitting at a giant table and you can't even like reach the next person. Have you ever been to a dinner party where somebody served food like that?
No.
Where they walked around and put it on your plate?
No. I'm not Richie Rich enough.
I have one time, and it was actually at a restaurant. It was a private dinner at a restaurant.
Okay.
And the waiters brought around dishes, and they didn't put it on our plate, but they offered it to us, and we could take the spoon and take some off of it and put it on our plate. And it was so awkward.
It would be incredibly awkward.
I felt like everybody was looking at me like, oh, I'm just going to take one potato.
And Hastings would have taken two potatoes.
He would have taken three or four potatoes.
He was a hungry boy.
You know who's hungry? Johnny. When he comes in to say goodnight to his mother, he eyes her roll.
Oh, I know.
Like, I was waiting for him to grab it and put it in his little robe pocket. Like, that kid's starving. Give him the roll. He looks at it like, ooh.
Okay, another thing, and we talk about this a lot, but that kid does a great acting job.
Yes, he
at
does.
At no point is he annoying.
Nope.
At no point does he try to steal the show. He does a great job.
Yep, he does a good job.
Poirot sleeps.
No, he doesn't. He perches flat in his bed. The way he holds a little sheet. We see him do that more than once.
Yeah.
That's how he sleeps.
I can't sleep like
We should try and see what happens if we tried to sleep flat on our backs, holding the blanket.
And then when he jumps out of bed because he hears some noises, First of all, that bed is a million miles off the ground.
The mattress is about 2 inches thick, and it's about 3 feet off the ground, at least.
But when he jumps out of bed, he jumps right into his sandals.
Yeah, his slippers.
His slippers. Sorry.
They're perfectly placed. It's like Wallace and Gromit, like a machine that just drops him right into his shoes. Though, I got to tell you, I would have loved to have had a bed like that as a kid. Because I never would have worried about a monster under my bed if I had had that bed. Like, I can see clear to the other side, no problem. I don't even have to bend over.
I never worried about monsters because he was too busy reading comic books that I'd stuffed under my bed.
I still worry about things under the bed.
No.
After that CSI episode with Squeagle.
Oh.
That weird guy under the bed.
Okay, there's one tall daisy. So Poirot has to pick it out.
Well, it's not uniform, so of course he does. And somebody's poisoned Mrs. Waverly in the night. Well, poisoned her at dinner and she's sick now. What is the boiling water for? Why do you always need boiling water?
They need boiling water to make the rice for breakfast because that's all there is.
No, it's kedgeree. So it's rehydrated smoked fish. At first I thought, why is Hastings looking at his scrambled eggs like that? Like, what is this?
This is an episode of an attempt for Hastings to get food.
Yeah.
And they go to the...
They have to go to the pub to get breakfast.
Go to the pub to get breakfast. And he's like, oh yeah, let's have a beer.
Yeah, 2 pints, please. But like, what kind of insult that your house guests leave to go eat somewhere else? Because it's so bad at your house. Like, wouldn't you at least pretend to be able to afford one breakfast?
You would think.
Like, you scrounge up enough to impress these two people, but I...
How is he going to pay Poirot?
Waverly doesn't care. Yeah. Oh, he's going to pay him out of the ransom.
I guess.
So you asked, why does Waverly go to Poirot?
Yeah.
Right? I think there's two reasons. One, I think it's to convince his wife he's taking it really seriously. They've taken at least one of the notes to the police.
She is upset.
Yes. She is convinced somebody's going to steal
their
kid. She's
made herself sick. No, he did that too.
And two, I think it's to provide cover because he's so convinced that Poirot won't figure it out that nobody can ever accuse him of having been involved in it because Poirot was there.
I'm surprised Johnny doesn't walk up to his father and go, why are you trying to kidnap me? Yes.
The nurse says, we're going to go away and stay in a cottage for a while you extort mom for money.
Mm. What is the most suspicious thing I could do? Sack everybody.
Well, somebody put a note on his pillow while he was in the bath.
Poirot is like, again, like, what are you doing?
Why? Don't get rid of everybody. That would be stupid.
Don't you tell me how to do my job, and I won't tell you how to do your job.
Speaking of people telling people to do their job, Jap shows up with the Keystone Cops.
Well, they play the victory music.
Yes.
Here comes the cavalry music.
Yes.
Like, I'm surprised there aren't cops, like, hanging off the sides of the car, you know? There's bobbies everywhere. What changes Jap's mind?
I don't know. I guess that Poirot went.
You think?
I think. But then, how do they know to go talk to the builder?
They just go to the village and ask around. There can't be that many builders around.
Meanwhile, Hastings is like, can we go get breakfast now, please?
I really need a beer.
I'm really hungry.
Kedgeree does not look like it would taste good.
Oh, no.
And I like fish.
And on the way back from town, we sing the song.
The song is the highlight of this episode, just like Hindustan was in the last one.
You will not believe the rabbit hole I went down with this song.
Well, you're going to have to remind people of the song.
The song is One Man Mows a Meadow. That's the name of the song.
Okay.
And it's a counting song.
Right.
It's not a memory song or a game song. It's a counting song. So you say one man, two men, three men, four men, five men, six men, seven men, eight men, nine men, 10 men, mow the meadow. And their dog.
Yeah. Ruff!
See, this is what...
It's like B-I-N-G-O, that kind of song.
Funny you say that.
Oh.
Because two things. One, there's a conspiracy that the man who mows the meadow is also the guy who has the dog that's B-I-N-G-O.
No, because that's a farmer.
There's a Reddit post about it. But wait.
Bingo is the dog who's going to mow the meadow? Conspiracy.
But wait. Okay, but wait. The number one video on YouTube for One Man Mows a Meadow is a Bluey video.
Mm-hmm. Bluey, the cartoon dog.
Bluey's sister goes in, gets on the toilet, sings the song for a while, looks between her legs, gets off the toilet, flushes it, and walks away. And is very excited about going, yip, like the dog.
So it's a potty training song?
Maybe.
She doesn't wash her hands?
Except for, what is Bluey's sister's name?
Bingo?
Bingo!
You've uncovered the conspiracy!
She looks between her legs.
I pushed the button.
I watched the entire thing. She's just sitting there.
Singing. One man, two man,
I think
three
it's
man.
Great that Bluey is a great show that for kids. I think it's a great idea to have potty training videos to make it normal for kids, to make the whole thing. I'm all for this, but the fact that her name is Bingo proves that it's Father Brown outside of the building.
Aha! I'm surprised I didn't hear you in the music room go, Bingo! I've solved the mystery.
I have an understatement of the century, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the understatement of the century?
Yes.
Poirot is not for the rough stuff.
No. That's what Jap says. Jap knows him. Poirot is not going to get in a fist fight. He might stick his cane out and trip somebody. That's about the most violent I think he would get. Though he was a policeman.
Yep.
So he probably has some skills.
Yep.
He can play golf mysteriously, you know, so you never know. He might have some kung fu or something that we don't know about.
So then we have the middle 20 minutes of this episode, or at least it feels like the middle 20 minutes of this episode, where the artificial clocks count down.
The boy, okay, so it's almost noon.
Yes.
The bobbies say, we got him.
Yes.
Everybody rushes out of the house to go and see Rogers, the guy they've caught, leaving the child completely unattended. Okay? I get that. It's stupid. I get it. They all rush out. He's out there. He's got a package that some geezer has given him with chloroform and a note and stuff in it, but he doesn't know what's in the note. Okay? Fine. They see the boy in the car. Beep, beep. Dad.
Yep.
He's driving away. Yep. Right? But then they all rush back into the house and look
around.
Why don't
they chase?
No, wait a minute. What are they looking for?
I don't know.
Do they think he's actually still in the house? Like, that was a fake Johnny.
He's right there banging on the window.
Everybody saw him.
That is not a way that you kidnap a child, by the way. Like, that child could have opened the door and ran away.
Well, no, because his nurse is driving the car saying, hey, bang on the window and wave goodbye to your dad.
Yeah.
He's not being kidnapped. If he was, he would have screamed. Okay. Plus, when everybody rushes out to go see Rogers, they think is the culprit, right?
Yeah.
She takes the kid through the hidden passageway in the library and down mile tunnel.
Yeah, what did writers do before the
secret passageway?
Secret passageway.
That's not a priest hole, by the way.
No.
That's never a priest hole.
No.
We talked about that during Midsummer.
Yeah.
That's a connecting passage.
Really, it's another way into the house.
Yeah. And a lot of houses of that age would have a tunnel like that, but it would lead to an outbuilding where the summer kitchen would be.
Yes.
Right?
Which makes more sense.
So a tunnel like that would have been used by servants to bring things like washing and food back and forth from
an
outbuilding.
If you're going to build one of those things, you want to make it useful because you built it a half mile underground.
That's really long.
That's a really long tunnel.
I wanted more of Poirot in the tunnel. There should be cobwebs that bother him. He should be like... When he comes out, there should be cobwebs in his mustache.
Yeah. They.
Instead, they're just like, huh, nice garden.
That's a great tunnel that they don't use well enough.
His little flashlight.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to have to hit it to make it work? Is that how it works? You like shake it to make it work? Oh,
I forgot to mention that.
I love that Rogers says that the guy who gave him the package was a geezer, and he was a toffee nose in a monkey suit.
Yeah.
And then Poirot says, toffee nose, monkey suit? We use that clip in our fake interview with them. It's really, you know, the nursemaid, the butler's niece, dressed like a chauffeur in jodhpurs and everything.
Yeah.
She must have been like, here, take this package. You think she had her hair down when she approached him? He was a long-haired guy and a weird voice.
I love how Poirot's just like, okay, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm out. I've got 40 minutes between now and my train. That's enough time to pack meticulously, solve this crime, and get to the station. Are we ready?
Well, I think he also knows that him packing is going to spawn the dad into action.
Oh, yeah. He's going to say, where are you going?
There's a really nice scene here where Hastings taps his car. Like it's like a nice tiny bit of acting.
He taps his car.
Yeah, he's sitting in the car waiting for Poirot outside.
Oh, like I'll be right here.
And he's like, I gotcha. I'm right here.
Mm-hmm. Poirot at least trusts him to get a ride to the train station in the car. But no further than that. So Waverly poisoned his wife ever so slightly to get her out of the way. And then says, where are you going? And Poirot's like, well, I have the address where he's being held right here.
Yes.
It's blank. I know, because I'm waiting for you to write it down for me. And Waverly's like, oh.
Yeah, and the you sad, got it's me. Like sad trombones. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
And there's no, he's having an affair with Treadwell's niece.
No.
There's no mother-in-law. No. Both of those things would have added to this.
Yep. But they also would have been kind of predictable.
They would have.
If only.
As predictable as the Lakonda running out of gas.
If only he had just said, my wife, maintaining that my family home, my ancestral family home, means a lot to me. Is there any way we can keep the restorations going and sacrifice in other places? Because it really matters. None of this would happen.
And, okay, let's just imagine that they are, in fact, out of money. They're serving people no food, basically. Rice and rehydrated fish. He should be like adult enough to not ask that.
I can only assume that she has the money, but she's just not willing to spend it on anything. Like not food, not restorations. She's tight.
Okay.
Because he thinks she can't afford to pay the ransom.
If she's that tight, I'm also like, is she as evil as he is? Like, because they're starving themselves.
Yeah. Well, they're not starving.
But they also have 40 servants.
There is that, too.
So maybe.
Like, you don't even need a cook to make kedgeree.
No.
Anybody could do it.
Oh, you caught me. What are you going to do now? I guess I'll fess up.
I'll never do it again.
Wah, wah.
Poirot
doesn't. The story ends, like, even worse than that.
Poirot doesn't even care.
Yeah.
To, like, make sure that he admits it to his wife. He could go home and completely lie and say, we found him. It's fine. Everything's fine. You know, like, what is Jap going to say?
I don't know.
I brought all these policemen out here for nothing.
And what really bothers me is this show is so good. And at this point, we're 3 episodes in. We have a wealth.
Oh, yeah.
Of Poirot stories.
Why did they choose this one?
Why did they choose this
one? I can only think that the production company only had permission to do short stories and maybe the estate limited what they could do. Like, you can do these.
It might be that because
they didn't have faith in them yet. And then once they saw this first season, they were like, whatever you want, go for it.
Yeah, we'll give you these 10 stories.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's it for right now.
But
I can only think that that was the case. And that they also only had so much liberty with the storylines. They could only because the Christie estate is very well managed by her grandson.
Yeah. And it should be.
So they don't give a lot of wiggle room with the plots if you're going to produce one of her stories.
No. And let's be honest, you get these 10 stories for your first season. I'm doing this story as early as possible.
Get it out of the way.
Clapham Cook's a great beginner.
Yep.
And, this is get this one out of the way as soon as possible.
I think I would have tried to avoid it.
Well, and the other thing is this one is cheap.
Oh, yeah. It's really inexpensive to make.
It's cheap to make. Not like the one where they're on the boat.
Yeah.
that's much more expensive. Or the one where they're in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both expensive to make. They had to go to Italy.
Yeah, yeah. So. Or build sets, which is expensive too.
Yeah.
Well, that's the adventure of Johnny Waverly.
But Best I have corpse. Oh, wait a minute.
There isn't one.
There isn't one.
After the credits,
originally
we've
it was called
about.
The Kidnapping of Johnny Waverly. Till almost the 60s, it was called The Kidnapping of
Johnny. I wouldn't make it any different.
It should be The Kidnapping of Johnny Waverly by his stupid dad.
The Adventure of Not Talking to My Wife. I have a surprise for you.
Oh, okay.
I have a horrible movie.
Okay.
I haven't had a horrible movie in a long time.
Is it Life Force?
No.
Because Treadwell is in Life Force, a movie I mentioned to my friends this weekend, which can only be summed up in three words, naked alien vampires. But because I noticed that on his IMDb page, he has an uncredited role as a guy.
Wait a minute. What are you doing looking at IMDb pages of the actors in the episode? That's my job.
To see it.
Uh-huh.
So.
Cheater.
I'm not cheating.
Okay. Well, okay. I just happened to have picked a movie with Patrick Jordan, who plays Treadwell, the butler, in it.
Okay.
Now I'm suspicious of you.
Okay.
You're cheating.
I'm not cheating. I've seen Life Force a number of times. Naked?
Okay.
Alien vampires.
Patrick Jordan is in like 75 movies.
He's a busy boy.
He's an older guy even by this time.
Yeah.
He started his career when he was in his teens and took any role that anybody offered him.
He's
unnamed whatever five. He took it. Okay.
He took
so
that
he's got
role.
Lots of movies. But the movie.
Plus the bill and all sorts of other stuff.
But the movie that I have chosen. He is the star of the movie.
Oh.
He's not some uncredited, just happens to be in it. He stars in the movie.
Stars in the movie.
Yes.
Like top billing?
Yes.
Wow.
Main character.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for the plot synopsis?
Hit me.
A descendant of Count Dracula returns to his ancestral village to take revenge on the people who destroyed his ancestor.
Oh. Is this a Hammer movie?
No.
Okay. And it's not Life Force.
Mm-mm.
Because though there are vampires in Life Force, they're not like Count Dracula.
No.
They're energy vampires.
No, these are bloodsuckers.
No, bloodsuckers. That's like the plot of 16
I know.
British movies in the 70s.
I know.
So I can't
tell. Okay, I'll give you another like little clue. So if you've seen it, this will give you an idea.
Okay.
Patrick Jordan, the butler in this episode, plays a doctor in the village who is the ancestor.
Oh, he's the vampire.
Kinda.
Well, it's not Dr. Fibes because that's another actor. I don't know.
This movie is called The Amorous Adventures of a Young Postman.
What?
That's what it's called.
That makes no sense at all. That's a 1970s softcore movie.
Yeah. Okay. But Dracula, okay, so vampires, village, doctor, so.
Okay, none of those words after that title.
So Patrick Jordan plays a doctor who is also a sex researcher who sets up an institute in a little village where his ancestor was killed.
Okay.
And
are you sure this is an alien vampire?
Wait
naked?
A minute. For some reason, he decides his subject of study is going to be the two postmen who are in town.
Okay.
So he questions them about their relationships.
We know about postmen.
And who they're attracted to. Well, if they're like Midsummer postmen, we know all about them.
Dark Harvest.
And one of them is like, I think becomes a vampire. And the other one is the amorous one who is an idiot and goes around doing stupid things.
Is this Carry On Sex Research?
No.
I'm
telling you, I watched clips of it. I read multiple descriptions. I read the VHS back. None of it gives you any more sense of what this movie is about.
The movie
than
poster
what I have just told
must
you.
Be amazing.
It's a close-up of a postman looking stupid.
Who doesn't have like fangs or anything?
No. He just looks goofy.
So you would like see that and go, oh, well, it's a rom-com about.
And then you flip the VHS box over.
Yeah.
And all the ladies on the back are kind of half-dressed.
Well, yeah. It's the
and
70s.
And you go, huh?
Yeah.
And one of them has fangs. And you're like, huh?
What? Yeah, I've never seen
The Amorous movie. Adventures of a Young Postman.
Never seen that movie.
1 point for me. Yep. It's been a long time since I had got a point from a bad movie.
That's a point.
Well, you can go watch it now. Well, what was the other movie that he was Hawk? What was... Patrick Jordan was in another movie with Jack Palance, and it's like a D&D movie almost.
Yeah, it's called Hawk the Slayer, which I think I've seen 10 times. It was the small town where I grew up. My friend worked at Max Milk, and they had videos there, and there was like...
That was a convenience store who had like a very small selection of rentals.
50 videos, and we watched them all over and over. And this was like a D&D movie.
Hawk the Slayer?
Hawk the Slayer.
It has Jack Palance, who is Ripley's Believe It or Not guy. Yeah. What else was he in?
He's the first villain in the beginning of Batman 89.
Yeah, but he's...
In the cowboy movie, City Slickers.
Yep, that's right. He's the cowboy in City Slickers.
Yeah.
But in this movie, Hawk the Slayer, he's like an evil wizard dude who wears a helmet that covers one of his eyes.
I remember distinctly as a teenager wanting to fix that helmet so that you could see both his eyes.
Turn it around a little bit. Because it's like the opening is wide enough to show both of his eyes, but somebody's like bonked him and it's spun a little bit on his head.
I remember we saw this. And then we saw Conan, the Schwarzenegger Conan, and we're like, oh, that's much
That's
better.
What it's supposed to
that's
be.
That's what it's supposed to
well,
be.
Well, there's one scene in Hawk the Slayer where the main good guy gets his magical sword ripped out of his hand, and then he wills it back into his hand, and it's so clearly reverse footage.
Yes.
They just reverse the footage to put it back in his hand.
We were so... Like, at that point in time, we were all...
Like, you just hit rewind. That's not special effects.
We were all pepped up on Star Wars and all pepped up on special effects movies and playing D&D all the time. This was definitely our wheelhouse. And I can remember going, they just reversed the footage.
There. Well, Treadwell, a.k.a. Patrick Jordan, is also in that movie. But I wasn't about to use that one as my horrible movie because I knew you'd seen it.
Hawk the Slayer. Yeah,
it certainly looked so bad. I knew you'd seen it. Well, that is The Adventure of Johnny Waverly. What, season one, episode three of Poirot. What's next week?
Oh boy, do I have something next week.
Yes.
Are you ready for it?
Uh-huh.
It's Naked Artistic Models, which is 4 and 20 Blackbirds.
Yes. Much talk about soup.
Soup.
And crumble.
Crumble.
And artist models.
Yes. Season one, episode 4 and 20 Blackbirds.
It's Christie breaking one of the cardinal rules of mystery and using identical twins.
Yeah, though it's interesting how she uses it. But
no doubt. And she hadn't joined the magic circle of mystery writers yet and agreed to the rules.
No.
Right, when she wrote it. So it's okay. And it's awesome.
So that'll be out March 11th, March 18th. We have The Third Floor Flat, which we love that episode also. And then after that, 2 remix episodes and some other special things to come because...
Our 200th episode is coming. This is 197 right now that you're listening to.
Our 200th episode is coming. And also the second half of March and the entirety of April are bonkers town for us.
Eclipse! The whole town's already losing its mind and it's more than a month away.
It's just... Anyhow. Insane. Telling schools that people will not be able to drive anywhere.
No, they won't.
So,
because everybody will be looking up, running into each other like crazies. Just our kind of people.
Okay. Right?
Bye, maniacs.
Bye, maniacs. Thanks for joining us on the Mystery Maniacs podcast. If you enjoyed our crazy podcast today, don't miss out on future episodes. Follow us on social media for updates, behind the scenes content, and exclusive sneak peeks. Subscribe, like, and share to spread the word. Bye, maniacs.
Okay, we may have to cut that because what you just said just doesn't make sense.